All right, Ezra chapter 4. You ready? Say yeah. Come on, let's do this together, okay? We're almost done. We're landing this plane in a couple of weeks. Pastor Isaac will preach next week. We decided to switch, and I'm going to land the plane on the last Sunday of May, and we are done with Ezra. Isn't that cool? It's another book that we finished together, amen? Isn't that great? Are we going to have that ice cream party, Heidi? We are? Yay! We always have an ice cream party after a series is over, right? Okay. I wonder who wanted that. Okay. Ezra chapter 4. Thus the work on the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So we're catching up from last week. We're saying that because of the discouragement and the distractions, remember, they stopped the building of the rebuilding of the temple. They just stopped. And we talked about how even though they didn't compromise, they seized the rebuilding. And I want to say something to you. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Not doing something on time is disobedience. Those of you that are parents know this. My kids say that all the time. They go, "Dad, at least I did the chores." They go, "No, you didn't do it on my time. Therefore, you still experience the consequences. You must realize that it's not yours to call," right? So we talked about that delayed obedience and disobedience, and they didn't compromise, but they seized the building. And in chapter 4, we find that it was a standstill. And then, after many years, some say 14 to 16, some even say 18 years later, they finally start rebuilding. Right? And they finally start finishing up the temple of the Lord, especially with Haggai's rebuke. Do you guys remember that? When Haggai spoke on behalf of God saying, "You have time to build your many palaces and houses, but you don't have the time to rebuild my temple?" And God's people are so convicted. They're like, "You're right, we got too comfortable. We didn't just get discouraged. We didn't just get distracted. We totally lost the plot, man. And we're rebuilding just our homes, our luxuries, our little castles, and we forgot about your house, oh God. Your house that defines who we are. We forgot about it." And so they repent. At least they repented and they started rebuilding. And now we're in chapter 6 where it says, "So the leaders of the Jews continued to build." Finally, right? The work went well under the preaching of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, right? Under their leadership. Now they're convicted. They're like, "We got to rebuild." The temple was completed on the third day of the month of Adar in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. And then the Israelites celebrated. Everyone say celebrated. Priests, Levites, every last exile. I love that part. Every last one of them, yeah, that returned, exuberantly celebrated the dedication of the temple of God. At the dedication of this temple of God, they sacrificed 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs. They placed the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their places for the service of God at Jerusalem, all as it was written in the book of Moses. This is the word of the Lord. So we're finally here, chapter 6, right? They laid the foundation, and then they got distracted for years, a lot of years, right? And then they came back under conviction, under the prophets' teachings and rebukes, and now they're rebuilding, and they finish. The temple is done. So what do you do? What do you do now the temple is done? They dedicated it. Verse 16, "And then the Israelites celebrated," priests, Levites, every last exile, exuberantly celebrated the dedication of the temple of God. They made time to declare and dedicate the trajectory and the mission or the purpose of this endeavor. Very important moment. They didn't just finish and then party. Right now, my wife and I are renovating our old home. I told you guys that, right? We're finally in there. You guys should see it. It's like a bomb went off. Everything is just destroyed, right? It's in ruins. But hopefully, in the name of Jesus, in a couple weeks, it's going to get rebuilt and it's going to be renovated. It's going to be nice. And my kids are ready to jump back in there and say, yeah, we're finally in our home. But what they don't realize is when we're about to go back, we're actually going to stop. We're going to stop in the middle of the living room and we're going to dedicate the house. And we dedicate it so that they can hear and they can know and they can remember what the heck this thing is for. Dedication. ATS Bible Dictionary says, a religious ceremony by which any person, place, or thing was devoted to a holy purpose. Dedications. Dedications. In a world where we don't dedicate things anymore, actually, we just presume all things are dedicated to us and our pleasure and our purpose. But the ceremony calibrates you. It sets you on a course. So here are some examples of things dedicated in the Bible. In the Bible, things like the tabernacle was dedicated, right? They dedicated firstborn children. So people, right? Children. They dedicated homes. Do you know that? They had a ceremony for their home. They had a ceremony for breakthroughs in prayer, like dedication of Samuel. I know some of you guys are like, Samuel is a child. Is a child dedication? Yes, it is, but it was an answered prayer. So they stopped and dedicated or had a ceremony when God answered prayers. Can you imagine at your next hangout, you know, with your Christian brothers or sisters, or even with your friends and family, you invite them over, and why are we here? It's not even your birthday. And you don't understand. Today is a dedication day. Dedication for what? Dedication for my Samuel. What you have a kid? No. I had an answer prayer. Can you imagine people going, oh my God, yeah, I'm marking this place in its time. Right? I'm setting it aside and I'm telling God and I'm telling the world, you answer my prayer, and this thing that you answered is completely yours and it'll be used for you. Dedication of things. The temple was dedicated. We talked about that, right? The tabernacle in the wilderness and then the temple. And then obviously the second temple now that they've returned from exile. They dedicated the Jerusalem wall. They dedicated the wall of defense. They dedicated that to the Lord. They dedicated the spoils from war, things that they accomplished or got from their victories. They dedicated it to the Lord, meaning this will be set aside for you. What if we became people who started dedicating things to God? What if the things that we build in life were not dedicated to us? What if it had a special purpose? I remember the first time I dedicated something, and you guys might laugh, but I was 16 or something, and I got a job at a winter ski and snowboarding, convention at the LA Staples Center's area. And a friend of mine at church said, hey, I think you'll be really good at being one of the associates for this company. And I was like, what company is it? Is it selling cool snowboards? Is it selling cool snowboard shoes? Is it selling cool skis? Is it selling cool clothes, ski clothes? He said, no, we're selling membership to ski associations. And I said, oh, hell, who buys these things? You don't need to be a member of an association to go skiing, as you know, right? But they got the prime real estate right in the middle of the convention and had us salesmen in the middle selling ski association forms and membership cards to all these people that are passing by looking to get stuff for their skiing experience. This is the worst job ever. Okay, if you ever want to feel really bad about yourself, try to sell associations to people that don't need it. So I get there and I'm like, great. My winter is going to be wasted on making no money, because we're making money on commission, by the way. We don't even make hourly. It's just pure commission. So I get there and I'm like, you know what? I need the money. I was the most desperate out of them, right? Most of them looked like they had ski associations, memberships. So I started selling, and guys, I tell you what, the first week I outsold all of them. The second week I was selling so much that people were getting jealous of me in the team. What are you doing? How are you selling this? What they didn't know, I had a little trick. There were three packages, the most expensive, the middle, and the least expensive package. I would hide the two and only show the most expensive one. That has nothing to do with the sermon. I just want you to know how skilled I am. Why am I telling you this? Because after that week, the 2 weeks of working there, I walked away, and I remember feeling this weird, gross feeling as if I sold out. And I began to realize at the age of 16, Lord, my mouth be dangerous. I can do a lot of good and a lot of harm with this mouth. I can sell useless things to people and make a lot of money. And I remember, I was 16. This is before I ever knew that I was going to preach the gospel or teach or do anything for the Lord. Okay? I decided that day after I quit, I said, you know what? I'll never use my mouth to sell again. And so thank God I do this now, because I don't know what else I would have done. Honestly, I have no other skill. I remember dedicating it to the Lord. Lord, I don't have much. I'm not really good at anything, but I like this. And so will you use this if I give it to you? You have skills, you have talent. Some of you guys have knowledge in a certain area. Dedicate it to the Lord. God gave you that gift for a reason. Did you know that every follower of Jesus is dedicated to God? Scripture says in 1 Peter, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen, or should I say dedicated, for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen, again, I should say dedicated, to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Every one of you have been dedicated to the Lord. Your baptism, the day you got baptized, was supposed to be equivalent, right? Like the celebration that we're witnessing right now in Ezra. It's supposed to be a public declaration that your life from this point on is on a different trajectory. It is now being used for the glory of God. Every week you don't live for that dedicated purpose, you are not living correctly. Every day when you put yourself to bed and you're about to sleep and you go, did I live for that dedicated purpose? And if you can't say yes, you are veering off. We are the temple of God. We are the house of God. Every day, your question should be, it should not be, what do I want to do? The question should be, how can I live in a way that matches the dedication? Dedications are for you. They're your North Star. Now, I know, you know, we live in a world where everyone wants to tell you what you should live for. Same thing happened with us, the church. Years ago, when we planted Echo, 14-some years ago, down the street here at Amherst, when we started Echo, there are many folks that came throughout those years that would tell me what we should dedicate our church for. Did you know that? And this you will face as well. And this is what Ezra and that temple with its people will face as well. And we know by the time we get to Jesus' time, we know they didn't stay dedicated. Right? They veered off. It didn't stay a house of prayer. It didn't stay a place of worship. It became a den of robbers. Right? So we too have that same temptation. And I remember in the beginning of our church when we started, there was this guy who, I guess he's well known in the Asian Christian world, and he calls me out of nowhere, and I'm feeling like, wow, how does he know my number? Why does he want to get together with me? So I'm feeling like flattered. I'm like, wow, he wants to meet. And I'm thinking he wants to like collaborate on something, right? Something good, something holy. And we get together and he wines and dines me, just like feeds me all this stuff. And I'm like so flattered. I'm like, wow, he's going to ask me something cool. And then he says, listen, I have this idea. And he goes, I'm an entrepreneur. That already is a red flag. When you talk to, why is an entrepreneur talking to a pastor, right? In America, I think it's normal, but it shouldn't be. So he goes, Echo is full of young people, right? And I was like, yeah. He goes, and from what I've been hearing, there's a lot of singles there. And back then, our church was just full of singles. Just, we were all, I think the average age was 25 and everybody was single. Now you're all old, right? Look how old you got, okay? You remember those days, right? When you had energy, right? And so he was like, listen, I know some churches that also have singles, but they can't find dates. So he goes, do you think that maybe you can help me host these Christian gatherings? And it was all under the guise of this Christian Hallelujah Nights, right? And there, we will help people. This is before the apps, guys. They wanted to be embodied apps, like helping each other connect. We will mingle with others and help them connect. Would you like to do this? And he goes, did you know if we do this and we just charge a little bit, we can make a lot for your church? He messed with the wrong pastor because I was like, what the hell, man? You brought me for this? I thought we were going to talk about something cool, something for the city, something for, let's do something good. You're telling me that you want to use our church to make it a dating center? And some of you guys are right now, PB, why don't you do that? Bad, PB, bad. You didn't listen to the Lord. No, I felt gross. I was like, he's like, why don't you pray about it? Isn't that disgusting? I was like, pray about it. I know the answer right now. Lord, tell me. I know the answer right now. No. I said, no. He goes, man, but don't you think that they need, I go, no, dude, I cannot. There's no way I can have that in the back of my mind. Right? Here's what I found out. Many in this world, they don't like that the church is dedicated to the Lord. They want to make us what I call socialite churches, right? If you want to look on the screen. We think the church is built for relationships. I don't go to bars anymore. I don't go to clubs anymore. Well, some of you guys still do. I don't go to this anymore. Where am I going to meet the ladies? Where am I going to meet the men? Where am I going to meet? Let's make the church more relational, more friendly. I want to tell you something. Church is not dedicated to this purpose. Here's another one, okay? So let me just say this. A socialite church is dedicated to relational satisfaction. That's the purpose of a socialite church. This place is awesome because I am relationally satisfied. That's what it's dedicated for. The second one that I realize people want to dedicate things to is for a social justice one, right? Social justice church. And this church is dedicated to self-righteous satisfaction. It's righteous in their mind because it's a thing that they care about. Okay? I've told this story many times. People will come to me over the years and be like, Pastor Brian, I am into X, Y, and Z cause. I really believe Echo should be a part of this cause. And I would often tell them, what a radical, awesome cause. Right? Good for you. Now be faithful. And they're like, no, you don't understand. I think we would benefit. And I'd be like, okay, but how about all the causes that we already do? Right? No. But that's okay. But this is the cause that God cares about. Listen to me. The church is not built for that one cause. Do you understand me? When all the churches in the world serve Jesus Christ, I believe all causes will be met. I really do. Because justice is the inevitable flow of worship. We will get to that. But justice doesn't always produce worship. Do you understand me? Jesus is more important than every cause. Because every cause isn't in his hands, and he's trying to mobilize his army to these causes eventually. But when you take Jesus out of the equation, right, the engine and the drive for all justice eventually disappears if our righteous satisfaction quota does not get met. It's self-righteousness. Even Jesus says things like that. Remember when Jesus, we got the feeding the poor. He goes, you'll always have the poor, but you won't always have me. If it was a social justice cause, man, people would have been like, Jesus is mean. Doesn't he care about the poor? Of course he cares about the poor. But he goes, I need to do something first. It has to be me restoring the creation order first. And then through the colony of heaven on earth, which is the church, then the world will experience mercy and justice through God's house. But it doesn't work backwards. Right? Again, I am not saying you shouldn't care about your causes. Okay? Your causes that you care about may be produced by your relationship with God. Good for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're doing the right thing. But this place is not designed to fund that cause only. It's not dedicated for that. Thirdly, I found over the last 14 years of pastoring this church that people would like to dedicate our church to be a spiritual church. What do you mean, PB? I thought ours was a spiritual church. A spiritual church is dedicated to religious satisfaction. What does that mean? People want to dedicate the house of God and make it into a religious or spiritual center. And I tell this story often because I believe you'll never meet this person, so I get to talk about this person. But this person came to me early in the church, okay? And this is always early. By the way, all this stuff happens early in the church because people think they can manipulate the purpose of the church. No one does that now. No one dare does that now, right? But back then, they came and this one guy was like, PB, I really believe Echo is called of God. These people talk like this, guys. PB, I really believe Echo is called of God to pray. And I'm like, oh, of course. Of course we're called of God to pray. Right on, brother. Thanks for coming to our church. And then he goes, all the time. And I'm like, right on, brother, all the time. We got to pray all the time. And he goes, no, no, no. What I mean is 24/7. I said, hey, you mean like in our hearts? We're going to worship the Lord. Because I go to bed and I'm praying in the spirit. I ain't praying all night. Oh, no, no. PB, you don't understand. God's about to bring revival. God's about to change this nation. God's about to do things. And Echo must be at the center of God's will. And in order to be in God's will, we must join these houses of prayer. And we must go 24/7 and have people sign up, right? On slots, on the time slots, right? I said, do you have a job? He said, no, I pray. How old are you? He was at that time, he was upper end of 20s. What do you do? I'm still in college. What the freak, man? You want me to tell my people who are getting their first career jobs, having their first babies, come on somebody, learning how to be part of this nation as a Christian, learning how to contribute, learning what it means to be an adult, and you're telling me you want me to take them out of that and create a spiritual hallelujah center where we just pray all day, where we're heavenly powerful and of earthly no good? Yeah. I think that's what we should do. I said, I think you're mistaking us for something else. We are a church. We have dedicated ourselves to Jesus Christ and his cause, right? Now, I know some of you guys are like, but isn't prayer? I'm going to explain that to you. These prayer gatherings, most of the time, it's about the upkeep of a religious movement. Often, it doesn't bleed into the world. I'm sorry. I have been a part of all of them. Most of the time, it's about religious highs and satisfaction. So, baby, what are we dedicating ourselves to in our church to? What is the people of God supposed to dedicate things to? Well, we are a church dedicated to be a spirit-led church. A spirit-led church is primarily interested and dedicated to the purpose of bringing glory to Jesus Christ in everyday normal life. A spirit-led church may include social satisfaction, may include spiritual satisfaction, and may include social justice satisfaction, that at least the ones you like, but its primary focus is on Jesus and Jesus' satisfaction. Spirit of God, the Spirit of God feels heard in a Jesus church. All other churches dedicated to those things, people feel heard. The Spirit-led church, the Spirit feels heard. This church is dedicated to bringing pleasure to Jesus and making sure the Spirit of God feels heard. Now, that includes social justice issues when he opens those doors. That includes and hopefully produces friendships and social interactions. Amen? I hope you guys make friends here. I really do. I'm not against it, right? And it should produce some spiritual highs or some sense of like getting close to God or maturing spiritually. But the number one reason we get together is to what? Orient ourselves around the Lord Jesus Christ. Every week, Lord, you are the Lord, I am not. Be the Lord over my life and then send me out to the mission field. Every week, we come to center ourselves and to make sure God is heard. God is heard. Amen? So, what do we dedicate as a church? Now, this is going to be a real practical one. Okay, so we dedicated our church entirely to be a Spirit-led church. And then within the church, we dedicate things as well. Okay, and some these are just, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are just some that I've thought of over the years that we did dedicate. We dedicate your children, right? So if your children are not dedicated, dedicate them. The next dedication service, when we do that as a church, which I don't know when that is, but ask one of the pastors, right? Or staff members, when we do that, dedicate them. Dedicate them publicly. And when you do that, you are reminding yourself that you are going to raise this child for the glory of God. We dedicate believers. What does that mean, PB? We baptize people, right? We dedicate ministers. We recognize and affirm people that are called into ministry, and then we dedicate their gift to the purpose of God. That's what we're doing here. Right? And then we dedicate marriages. You know, COVID did a number on marriages. People are like, oh, I just want to get married. Oh, and I'm like, of course, you should get married. And then, oh, I just want to go get it at the court. And I said, that's good. PB, what do you think about that? Fine, go ahead. Go get the court license papers and get married. And then you guys can move in. That's fine. That's fine. But that's not a dedication. A dedication is a holy matrimony where in front of God's house, you two guys make a public vow that this relationship will be of God. Why? Because when your relationship hits the rocks, which it will, you, when you have done that publicly, have then publicly allowed the church to have a say. So that when you get married publicly, I dedicate my life. Hey, I serve you, and I'm going to serve God by serving you, honey. Oh, and you too. And for the richer, for poorer, I vow to keep you as my woman for the rest of my life. And then if something happens here because of this dedication, if something ever happens or something, you guys waver, the house of God, that's why we're there. That's why we're witnesses that day. We are allowed to come in and go, stop it. You're acting weird. I don't like him anymore. I know. We never liked him. We have a world that's just literally divorcing because they don't like people. Then that means it wasn't dedicated. Now, as you guys know, our church, we believe in redemption. We're not saying divorces can't happen. And often, divorces are sometimes really good, as in it should happen, okay? As in it's safe for the people involved. But I say, generally speaking, a lot of people just get tired. Why? Because they have lost their focus. This is not for you. You marry for them, not them, for that one person. Do you understand? And when you publicly dedicate your marriage, you are saying to the church and to God, this is yours. And if we ever waver, you have a say. Same thing with your baptism. When we baptize you publicly, all those that are getting baptized soon, I think there's at least 8 of you that signed up from what I heard. When you get baptized, I think you are saying to God and the house of God, my life is dedicated now to the purpose of God, for the purpose of God. And if I waver, you are invited to call me on it. Yeah. Businesses. Some of you guys are opening up businesses. Dedicated. Dedicated publicly. We've dedicated businesses. Right, Pastor Isaac? We did one coffee shop, right? And they're booming now because we dedicated. No, I'm just kidding. They're doing well, but they dedicated it. What's cool is all the employees now know it's dedicated to God. Right? All the customers, they know, oh, this thing means something to this owner. It's using it for God. Dedicated. You get a promotion, you get a new office, bring me. I want to go to your work. I want to show up at your work and I want to pray at your cubicle. I will not embarrass you. I will not pray out loud. I'll pray really quietly. I'll kneel. I'll hide under your cubicle and anoint it and pray for it. Why? Why? It's for you. You must know that your 9 to 5 is dedicated to God. Right? It's no different than, you know, those cubicles. I mean, I feel so bad for anyone that's working in cubicles. But people that have worked in cubicles, sometimes I pass by, like especially at like my doctor's office, the nurses have their little cubicles. And many of them have little family pictures on their little cubicles. You know why they do that? First of all, they do that because they don't want to kill themselves and they're so, it's terrible, right? But second, they're working, they go, oh, this is why I'm in hell, right? This is why I'm working. It's for my family. Dedicating your workspace reminds you, this is why I'm here. Not only to love these people, but also to produce excellent work for the glory of God with all the skills and talents he's given me. And then finally, dedicate your homes. Are you buying homes? Are you moving? Are you renovating? Dedicate it to the Lord. Put oil all over your house and say, God, may this house be a house of refuge. May it be a place of peace. When my friends and family come over, Lord, can they experience your presence? You should do that. Okay? So, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a really simple plan, and I'm not going to go into it. It's so easy that I don't have to explain it to you, okay? We're going to start being people that dedicate things to God. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay? So step one, I want you to pick what you want to dedicate. Just like in Ezra, we know exactly what they dedicated. They dedicated the temple of God, right? I want you to pick it. Some of you guys are going to get ideas right now. I want you to pick it. Michelle and I, we're spending this next year talking about how we're going to help Isabella, who's turning 16 next year, dedicate the upper half of her teenage years. We're talking about that now. We're trying to figure out how do we make this a momentous moment where she knows she is called of God and not boys. Pick what you want to dedicate. What do you want to dedicate? Do you want to dedicate your degree that you're about to get? You want to dedicate your new office you're about to move into? You want to dedicate your new house that you're about to get? You want to dedicate the new age stage that you're about to enter? Some of you about to enter your 30s. Some of you about to enter your 40s. Some of you, like Gino, about to enter your 60s. I'm just kidding. Gino's younger than me. Jeez. My gosh. What is this empathy for Gino? They love you, Gino. What if you dedicated your age? Lord, I'm about to go into this stage in life. Okay? Next, step two. I want you to have a purpose for it. Okay? Create a mission. Create a mission statement. Create a credo. Write something down. My family, we have a mission statement for our family. We do. And kids are like, well, we don't know if we have a say. No, you don't have a say. Mommy and daddy wrote this, and this is how it's going to be until you get your own family. That's the mission. That's how we know we're successful or not. So pick something and then write something for it. Purpose, dedicate. My business will be used for this. And the way I know it's successful is this. Write it down. Finally, Plan on how you will invest time, resources, and energy into what you dedicated so that it will grow, that it will mature, and that it will bear fruit for what you've dedicated it for. Pick, purpose, and plan. What are you going to pick to dedicate? How do you know that you've dedicated? How do you know in each season that it's doing what it was dedicated for? That's the purpose. And then plan for it. How will you cultivate that which you dedicated? Did you dedicate your marriage? will plan, what are you going to do to cultivate the marriage? What are you going to do to make sure it's successful? Did you dedicate your job? What are you going to do to cultivate that job? Do you have to go to school more? Do you have to get mentored? Do you have to get, you know what I mean? Do you have to get certified? What can you do to say, I am investing in that which I dedicated to God? So I am with this. You know why they exuberantly celebrated? Other than the fact that it took many years to finish this temple and they finished it. Hallelujah, right? But do you know why every godly dedication is worth celebrating? Because every dedication, if done right, always leads to new life. Always. Life, new life, wholeness, healing, blessings are always on the other side of dedications. If you do it well, you give it to God, and you invest in it, whatever you dedicate to God will produce new life. And you'll be blessed, but more importantly, people around you will be blessed by that. And that's why we celebrate. When we dedicate your children, why are we so happy, aside from the fact that your baby's so cute? Why? Because we know that this child raised in God's love will someday bring God's love to the world. And for that, we celebrate exuberantly. Let's pray. Right now, go ahead and pray. God, what can I dedicate? What should I purpose these things for? Some of you guys are single. You're not dating right now. Dedicate this time. Lord, I don't want to just cruise. I don't want to just wait for somebody. I want the season of my singleness to have a meaning, to have a divine purpose. Dedicate your singlehood. Some of you are entering another stage in life, dedicated to the Lord. What would it look like, God, if I purposed this for you? Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that that you've allowed us to dedicate this house for your glory. But like everyone else, Lord, we too are tempted to be distracted and to walk away from the purpose of this house. So I pray in Jesus' mighty name, will you keep us focused? Will you keep us Christ-centered? Will you keep us listening and sensitive to the Holy Spirit? May this church never waver from what it was dedicated for. And I pray for every single person here, God, their lives dedicated to you, but also the things and places and businesses and people in their lives that they're dedicating. I pray, empower them, fill them with your Spirit, and may everything that they dedicate be infused, God, with your purpose. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.